Hey man, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, continuing on with the subject of music in this session. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit now would work in our hearts as we continue on with this subject of music. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. If you are confused in the area of music, in the matter of music, then God doesn't want you to continue in that state. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We have looked at this passage before. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So the Lord doesn't want us unwise, but wants us understanding what the will of the Lord is in the matter of music. There are several good resources in the matter of music we have talked about before. One of them is by Brother Alan Ives, evangelist out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Wildwood Baptist Church. And I encourage you to consider his tapes on how to tell the right kind of music. You can locate him at concordandharmony.com. That's concordandharmony.com. Also, Brother David Cloud, we've shown you a couple of his tapes, DVDs. He's a missionary and author of many books, and he has two excellent resources. One of them is Issues, it's entitled Issues Facing the Churches, Sound Versus Contemporary Music. The other one is Music, Distinguishing Between Sacred and Contemporary Styles. That's another excellent one as well. And you can find him at wayoflife.org, wayoflife.org. Also, we've considered some other audio tapes by brothers Tim Fisher and Dan Sweat from Sacred Music Services down in Greenville, South Carolina. They have an audio set of tapes on music. That's entitled Praise Him in Joyful Song, and that's also excellent. All of these are good. The last one there by brothers Tim Fisher and Dan Sweat, the one exception I would take to that is they talk in a section there about helping young people to get from rock music off from that, and then but they try to encourage you to help them then to appreciate classical music, and we will be covering classical music in a different section, but I would take exception to that. I don't think you have to get them from rock music to classical music. I think what you need to get them on is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we just read here. All of these, though, have some excellent points in them by Brother Ives, by Brother Cloud, by these two brothers. But none of them deal with the problems in classical music. So we will be covering that in a session to come. What we have seen in the previous session from Ephesians 5 here, we began in the beginning of this chapter. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, men like Rick Warren needs to learn that lesson to follow God and not to follow man. When he wanted to know what kind of music to play in his church, he took a poll of his people. And the poll came back 96, 97% that his people listened to pop rock. Music that he described would be on television commercials. Well, television commercials contain flat-out rock music, and that's what he brought into his church. So we need to learn verse 1 to follow God and not to follow man. We can only be saved God's way, and we can only be happy God's way. We need to follow him, not to follow man. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." So we need to just trust God in the matter of music, and do what he says in his word. And he says here, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He doesn't say pop rock. He doesn't say television commercial music. He says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then we saw in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So the Lord gave himself for us. He came to earth for us. He left the glory of heaven for us. And in the matter of music, I want to put forth that question to you. Who are you affecting by your music, the type of music to which you listen? Remember all the young people we quoted in the previous session, how they were affected negatively in the matter of rock, Christian rock music that was brought into their churches and how it led them into immorality. And then we saw in verses 3 through 5 here that the Christian life is one of holiness, not worldliness. You realize what's coming into the churches today is, they openly state they want to be a seeker-friendly church, not a savior-friendly, but a seeker-friendly. They want the world to feel at home when they come into their churches, and so they play worldly music. Remember what Debbie Harry of the rock band Blondie said. We cited this earlier. She says, rock and roll is all, and then she uses the three-lettered word that the world uses for immorality. She says, and I'm going to substitute the word immorality for her word, but rock and roll is all immorality, 100% immorality. She admits that. That was in 1974. 1979, she said the main ingredients in rock are immorality and sass, immorality and rebellion. So even Wikipedia mentions that. We'll see this later on, but rock and roll is not just a music, but a whole way of life. We'll show you that quote in sessions to come. And so in this session, we're getting into verses 6 through 10. The Christian life is one of obedience, not ignorance. God tells us to study. He doesn't want us ignorant. And so as we consider this passage here, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Part of the reason we're going through this topic, this study of music, is because we don't want you ignorant. We don't want you being deceived, verse 6. We don't want the wrath of God coming upon you and your family because you're disobeying him in the matter of music. Verse 7 tells us not to be partakers with that crowd that uses worldly music. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're not going to be ashamed one day when we stand before God, we need to study God's word and know what it says. And it tells us right here about music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's very clear. The whole philosophy of contemporary music is wrong. Some are just ignorantly following their flesh. I think some don't even realize it. They like that music because their flesh likes it. They're not even stopping to think. They're just following the crowd. But others know they're doing wrong, and they're just going on in rebellion. Amy Grant says, that's one reason I started writing songs, because I didn't want to impose my religion on anyone. She said that in an interview with the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1984. She didn't want to impose her religion upon anyone. Then why was she claiming to be a Christian singer? She stated her purpose was not to impose her religion upon anyone. Michael W. Smith, another very popular contemporary singer, he says, my songs are not preachy at all. He said that in The Contemporary Christian in June 1986. My songs are not preachy at all. You notice if you read very much about contemporary musicians as they really criticize and ridicule preaching. Is that what the Bible does? Randy Stonehill says, I don't want to preach at people. He said that in the Christian Music Review in April 1991. Another popular singer, Stephen Curtis Chapman, says he tries to communicate a biblical worldview in a way that will not be abrasively preachy. What does the Bible say? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are we to be ashamed of preaching? Are we to shun preaching? Are we to stay away from that style? Not what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." A true born-again, blood-washed Christian is not going to be ashamed of preaching. A true born-again, blood-washed Christian is going to realize that it's through preaching that we hear the Word of God and are saved. We're not going to be ashamed of that. But all those contemporary musicians are ashamed of preaching. They don't like it. And it's evident, not only in the words of their songs. Remember, they say they don't want to be preachy in their music. So their words are not going to be preachy. In other words, their words are not going to be clear that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved. Their words are not going to be clear because they consider that being preachy. They're not going to talk about hell and fire and hell. Why? Because that's being preachy. And they don't want to do that. So in the words and in the beat of their music. Let's prepare clip 41. This is by Brother Alan Ives. And I would like to remind you, just one again, in the earlier session we listened to a complete recording. This is just a section of that recording we listened to earlier. I'd like you to hear again clip 41.
Let me give you what the backbeat is. We add it to the boogie-woogie, it just fits. And it's an accent on beat 2 and beat 4. That's what Chuck Berry said, rock and roll guitarist. He said, "I dig that rock and roll music, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it." And so rock music always has accent 2 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, so forth.
Okay. So we're going to deal with these song leading patterns, and I want you to see clearly what is the offbeat. And I'm going to read first of all here what syncopation is. You may have heard of the term syncopation before, and maybe you know what it means, maybe you don't, but it means a syncopation is the stressing of a normally unstressed beat in a bar, or the failure to sound a tone on an accented beat. For example, in 4-4 timing. Okay, this is 4-4 timing. 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. Now, in 4-4 timing, you should be accenting. In other words, the emphasis should be on beat 1. 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. You don't want it on an offbeat. An offbeat is the 2 and 4. It's rock music is 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. That is the rock beat. That is an offbeat. And I continue on. The stress can also be shifted by less than a whole beat, so it falls on an off beat. Playing a note ever so slightly before or after a beat is another form of syncopation, because this produces an unexpected accent. Syncopation is used on occasion in many music styles, including classical music. Some people don't realize that, but even classical music has some off beat in it. That's the rock beat. But it is a fundamental constant presence in such styles as ragtime and jazz. In the form of a backbeat, syncopation is used in virtually all contemporary popular music. And that's true of all contemporary Christian music as well. There's always that backbeat, that 2-4 beat in it. Another type of syncopation is the missed beat, where a rest is substituted for an expected note's beginning, and that comes from Wikipedia. And we're going to hear some hymns played now in the right way and then played in the wrong way, emphasizing that first beat and then emphasizing the off beats. If you'd take your hymn book and turn to me to page 236, I'd like you to follow along. This first song is Amazing Grace, 236. And I'll try as Ken Van Leer plays. He's a musician, taught lessons for many years. He was very gracious to play these hymns for me in different manners that I asked him to, so that you could hear the right and the wrong ways to play hymns. So the first one, clip one, Page 236 in your hymn book. Now notice this song is 3-4 timing. Okay, and we're going to bring more out about that in just a moment. But the pattern for that is 1-2-3. 1-2-3. 1-2-3. And it's the same way you want to emphasize the first beat. 1-2-3. 1-2-3. 1-2-3. Waltzes are 1-2-3, 1-2-3. It emphasizes the second and the third beat, and that's why you can dance to a waltz, because it's emphasizing the off beats, not the first beat of the measure. So let's go ahead and listen to clip number one. Okay, let's listen then to clip number two, and as you can continue on reading along in your book there if you'd like to, but this is going to be adding notes with and without proper emphasis. Almost all the way, I want you to notice, if you still have your hymn book open, I want you to notice that almost all the way through the first line, he's actually going to be emphasizing beat three over beat one. And this is where young people get into trouble many times as they're learning to play the piano, and they start to add notes like he's going to right here. They get into trouble because they start putting an emphasis on the off beats, as he's going to do in the first part of the song. In the second line, he's going to switch and start emphasizing beat one, which is correct. So let's listen to clip two, and I'll see if I can show you what I mean here. Okay, let's start that clip over again. I want you to notice that it's on the third beat that is the heavy emphasis. And that's what makes the body want to begin to move. You know, you can play Amazing Grace in a dance type style. So let's try that again. I'll see if I can bring that up. Switched. One. You notice that? First part of the song emphasizes beat three, now beat one. Okay. When you emphasize beat three, it gives it a sensuous swing. Put a kind of a rhythm in there. When you emphasize beat one, when you emphasize the first beat in a measure, it makes a song and makes a person want to go straight forward. When you start emphasizing the offbeats, it gives a swing to it. Okay, now he's going to play Amazing Grace in a rhythm and blues. And this is clip three, and so let's listen to this one. Hear those high notes on the third beat? See how he's emphasizing beat three? Strong emphasis. Hear those high notes? Playing around up there. Just makes it makes the body want to move. Okay. So Beat 3 is receiving more emphasis than beat 1 in that song. And then a little later, he starts to play a few high, syncopated, playful notes, the offbeat notes. It gives it just kind of a little playful feel up there high, and that's the ragtime sound. Now, ragtime is normally a 2-4 or 4-4 song, and this is 3-4, but you can give it that ragtime feel by what he's doing there. Ragtime is a dance form written in 2-4 or 4-4 time and utilizing a walking bass. The bass is played legato. In other words, it's played more smoothly, the bass going up and down. And the higher notes are played staccato. Staccato are quick, short notes. And that's what he's doing up high with those notes, playing around, short, quick, staccato notes on those off beats. Ragtime music is syncopated, with the melody notes landing largely off on the off beats. Okay, now we're going to look at clip 4. Amazing Grace, still. This time, it's a rock beat. Now, as we said, rock music is emphasis on beats 2 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. How are you going to do this in a 3-4 song? Well, listen to him here, and let's listen to clip 4. Notice where the beats land, the emphasis. Rock beat. Hear it? 2-4, 2-4, 2-4. Okay. That is common in churches. You'll hear music like that. That is a rock beat. Now, how does he do that? It's a 3-4 song, but a 4-4 rock beat. Well, he's done it in that song by using the keyboard. And a lot of these keyboards, you can... they have already pre-programmed rhythms in it, and all he had to do was push the rock beat rhythm. So it gave him a 4-4 rock beat, but you should have seen him try to do this. He had to get himself out of time because he's playing 3-4 timing with the melody, and that's a 4-4 beat going on, and what that's known as, it's called a polyrhythm. Now, polyrhythms, if you study the history of polyrhythms using two different rhythms at once, they trace it to Africa. Polyrhythms originated in Africa. And this should stop and make you think, well, wait a minute, churches are starting to use polyrhythms? It's getting easy for them because they have their keyboards that have all these pre-programmed beats and rhythms in them. And so their musicians don't have to be as accomplished to play these rock beats, and that's what they're doing. But from where are they getting those polyrhythms? They came from Africa. Well, what kind of religion was in Africa? Spiritism, demonism, witchcraft. That is where they're getting those rhythms. Now, do you want those rhythms played in the churches? People have gotten saved out of those demonic religions and have testified as they've heard some music in the so-called Christian America, that the Americans are calling, conjuring up their spirits through their rhythms and beats that they are using. Well, let me tell you something, that's common in churches today. Are we not like the Laodicean church where Jesus is standing on the outside of his own church knocking, wanting to get in? I tell you something, if the service starts with music which conjures up demons, polyrhythms, you're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ on the outside of that building, that's for sure. Remember what we saw, 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. Polyrhythms are confusion. You don't believe that? I wish you could have been there and saw Ken Van Leer try to play that. I mean, to get out of rhythm, to play and be a part of two rhythms at once is totally against what the body, and when you've learned music correctly, it's totally against the grain. Okay, let's go then to clip number 5. This is Stand Up for Jesus. This is page 378 in your hymn book. Now you notice this is 4-4 timing. This is a common march type tune. Stand Up for Jesus, page 378, if you'd like to follow along. And this is played correctly, emphasizing beats 1 and 3. Those are the on beats. And I'll try to get in time and show you that. Clip number 5. You see from that is clearly the first beat. Now, that doesn't want to make you dance. That doesn't reach the flesh, okay, in that manner. Okay, let's go to clip number 6. Now, this is Stand Up for Jesus with a walking bass. And before we listen to it, I wanted just to share this with you. A walking bass you'll find in jazz, blues, ragtime. Ragtime is saloon music, the old-time saloon music, ska, rock, Baroque music, and other musical genres. A walking bass is a bass accompaniment generally consisting of unsyncopated notes of equal value. In jazz, it's known as the four feel. In boogie, it's 8 to the bar. Walking bass often involves moves in a stepwise motion to successive chord roots, such as is often heard in country music. Okay, let's listen to clip number 6 then with this walking bass. Listen to those low notes go up and down. That just makes the body want to move. That bass going up and down, just like the sea, the waves of the sea. Now, a lot of young people will get in trouble. They might not syncopate their notes, but they'll get into trouble just by getting that walking bass going on. And you might not even know why, but you just feel like moving when that song is going on because they're walking the bass. Now, sometimes people ask, why are there so many different kinds of churches? Well, there really are not. There really are only two basic types of churches. Those churches that teach that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. It's repentance and faith, turning from our sin to Him. Not cleaning up ourselves, but having the desire for Him to cleanse us from all of our sin. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the idea of repentance. Oh Lord, cleanse me from my sin. There are those type of churches, and then there are the type of churches that teach through one fashion or another, you have to do something to save yourself. To those churches, it's not just the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you. It's, well, you have to get baptized to wash away your sins, or you have to join the church, or you have to give money, or like the Catholic Church, you have to keep following these 7 sacraments all the way up till the end, and receive those last rites or you're going to go to hell or go to their purgatory, which of course is unscriptural as well. But notice with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the Bible clearly tells us here that we don't get saved through our own work. It tells us what we must do to be born again. John 6 and verse 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. So it's through faith in Christ. It has nothing to do with our works. It has nothing to do with what we can do for God. It has everything to do with what he has done for us on the cross. So in actuality, there are only two churches. There are churches that preach that pure gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again victorious from the grave. There are churches that preach that, and then there are churches that preach a perverted gospel, which is some kind of works. Now, the same principle is true in music. You may think, well, there's many different kinds of music, and I get confused. Well, there are basically only two types of music. There are music which reaches your flesh, which the world admits are dance tunes, and then there is music that causes you to worship God. There's only two types when it comes down to it. Two types. And let's listen to, well, actually, let me just remind you of what I just read there. Because it mentions all these kinds of music. Remember what it said about the walking bass? It said it's found in jazz, in blues, in ragtime, in ska, in rock, in Baroque music, and in country. All of these things are part of the same family. And it's not worship music. They're all part of the same family. And it's not the Lord's family. It's the devil's family. It's the devil's music. Now, remember how Brother Ives told us in that clip we listened to how that many times young people unknowingly play that fancy little ditty. And he explained to us how that's the boogie-woogie. And I continue on Wikipedia, it says the boogie-woogie is a style of blues piano playing that became very popular in the 1940s. The most familiar example of shifts of level in the left hand, which elaborates on each chord and trills and decorations from the right hand. Now, that's what we saw in these clips we listened to, that those trills, those fancy things up high. Let's listen to clip number 40. This is Brother Ives' boogie example. Clip number 40.
You say, well, how will I recognize it? Boogie Woogie's easy because kids, I don't know why this song goes on and on, but kids always get on the piano before they know how to play it, and they'll go.
Listen to those high notes, too. Those high staccato notes. That's what we're talking about right there, as well as the bass he was talking about, too. Let's listen to clip 83B. 83B. This is from Grace Baptist College in Gaylord, Michigan. It's entitled The Criminal on the Cross from the CD I Found Grace. And I want you to notice the walking bass and those high staccato chords that Brother Ives was just showing us on beats 2 and 4. So if you listen to this, try to listen for that clip 83B.
Well, on the judgment day, when all the people stand around him and they wait to see what he will declare,
those high notes.
There will never ever be a more intense anticipation that has ever happened anywhere. But when they call my name to defend my reputation, there was only one thing I could say. I'm a wretch, I'm a worm, I'm a no good sinner, but he said I'll save you anyway.
Okay. That is common. That is common in churches and colleges and Christian quartets groups. That high staccato beat on 2 and 4. That's the rock beats. The rock beats. Okay? Let's try just a little bit of clip number 80. This is also from Grace Baptist College. The song is I Found Grace, and from the CD, I Found Grace. Clip number 80.
Oh, I found grace.
Grace at the foot of a rugged cross on Calvary.
Hear those high notes?
I found grace.
Grace with the awesome power to set the captive free.
I found grace.
Saving grace.
I found grace.
Leading grace.
Oh, I found grace.
Fulfilling.
Bass is walking.
His loving grace.
I found grace.
Amazing grace to meet my need.
Oh, I found grace.
Grace.
Hear those high notes?
Cross on Calvary.
I found grace.
Grace with the awesome power.
On beats 2 and 4, you hear those high notes, those staccato high notes. The bass is walking, high staccato. That's just coming. Now, if you don't teach young people what are proper and improper beats, they're going to do just what those two groups have done. They're going to walk that bass. They're going to hit those high staccato. They're going to play around on beats 2 and 4 with high staccato notes. Those are dance tunes. The world admits those are dance tunes. And if you don't teach young people that those are dance tunes, that's what they're going to use, just like those young people are using right now. Some other beats and tunes. Sometimes you don't have to only consider the beat, but the mood, the tone. I'd like you to listen to clip 7. This is Stand Up for Jesus played in a minor key. Now, I want you to think, do you feel like standing up for Jesus? Do you get, as you listen to this, do you feel like getting in the army and going to fight or not? I want you to listen to clip 7. Do you feel like fighting? It makes you feel like crying, doesn't it? I think the army lost. I don't think they won anything. Everybody's going back home, sad. Okay. You see, that music just doesn't fit the words. Stand up for Jesus. That music doesn't cause people to want to stand up for anything. That makes you want to go cry or take a nap or do anything but fight. That's not fighting music. The tone of the music has overpowered the words. In the early to mid-1980s, we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee for some meetings, and there was a woman there in that church that they were trying to introduce her music to the people there. And she played some, or composed some hymns. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 43. One of her hymns was based upon this or some other similar scriptures. Psalm 43. And I'm going to read this to you, but she uses minor keys. Psalm 43 and verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you notice in verse 4, it says, unto God my exceeding joy. She wrote a song that kept talking about that God was her exceeding joy. But it was written in a minor key, and I never felt joyful after hearing that song. You see, the words didn't fit the tone of the music. If you're going to talk about God being your exceeding joy, you need to use not a minor key. That'll put people in a sad mood. Okay, let's listen to clip 8. This is Stand Up for Jesus. With a jazz to it. Okay, clip 8. Hear the walking bass, high syncopated notes. 2, 4, 2, 4, 2, 4. Jazz. That's common here in churches too. Okay, that's jazz dance music. Okay. Let's listen to clip 11. This, if you want to look in your book, is 357, Nearer My God to Thee, 357. This first surround, the emphasis will be on the correct beat on the first beat of the measure. Let's listen to clip number 11. Okay, you get the idea there. Let's listen then to clip number 16. This is Blessed Be the Name. This is hymn number 32, if you want to look at this one in your book, hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. And this is 4-4 timing. And let's listen to this, number 16. Emphasizing the first beat. Okay, now we're going to listen to it syncopated. Remember, syncopation is the off beats. All right, number 17, Blessed Be the Name with a syncopated sound. 4, 2, 4, 2, 4. Hear it? Suddenly become a dance now. 2, 4, 2. Okay. Okay, now he's going to show you what it sounds like with a boogie, walking that bass. Number 18. Number 18. Hear that bass? Up and down. Okay. Okay. Now he's going to give us just a short thing of blessed be the name in rock, emphasizing it two and second and fourth beat. Clip number 19. Okay, so you can turn hymns into rock just by, it depends on what beat you emphasize. You start emphasizing beats two and four, and it suddenly become rock. I don't care what the words are, the music has changed. Let's listen to clip number 22. This is from Robbie Heiner. I Want That Mountain. And I want you to notice now, it's the pianist starts right out emphasizing beats two and four. Many times it's the musician that sets the whole tone right from the start. Number 22. Four, two, four. Hear it? Two, four. Hear the piano? Two, four, two, four, two, four. That's rock. Okay. Okay, so that musician started right out with the piano, emphasizing beats two and four, gave it the rock feel, and then some other instruments came in and gave it a heavier 2-4 beat. That is rock music. That is rock music. The world says it's rock music. Why don't Christians admit it is? The sad thing is many times they bring that in even children's music. Let's listen to clip 28. This is from the Children's Bible Hour. I'm not sure exactly of the title of the song. You talk about I Believe. Maybe that's the title of it. But notice here, even the voices will syncopate. The voices will emphasize beats 2 and 4. Clip 28.
I believe what the Bible says about Jesus.
Catch it right there, Jesus.
What the Bible says about him is true.
Even divide the word true.
What the Bible says about salvation.
Catch it? Okay.
I believe that
so,
Jesus died.
Emphasize even the word true. Somebody coached that little girl. Maybe she didn't need coaching, just the music itself. She divided the word true, true. She's syncopating. She's giving the most emphasis on beat two and four. That's the rock beat. Little kids, how tragic when they have little kids singing songs like that. Let's go to clip number 30. Once again, Children's Bible Hour, Standing on the Promises of God. Clip number 30. Hear those trumpets? Emphasizing two and four. Two, four, two, four, two, four. That's a rock beat. Two, four, two, four. Okay. That is a rock beat. You've got young people training Christian young people to play their instruments with a rock beat. Don't be surprised when they get teenagers and turn away from so-called Christian music, right, totally to secular rock, because that's the beat you taught them to play. That's the way you taught them. That's rock. Another area of music is Negro spirituals, and many times Christians get into these. Well, the background from that, of course, is Africa. It was music taken from rhythm and blues. It was music born out of the hearts of people who had been wrongly taken from their own land and brought here. And their music had a lot of blues in it. It's like Joseph when he named his children. His children's names referred to that he was a stranger in a strange land. And he felt bad when he thought about back home. He was wrongly taken away from his home, just like the slaves were wrongly taken away and brought here and to many other countries. But a Negro spiritual will most generally have some rhythm to it. It will be a dance tune. Let's look at clip number 31. This is from Fairhaven Baptist College in Chesterton, Indiana. Darcell McCoy sings this one. He's now with the Lord. And he tried to tone down these songs, but you can still catch the rhythm in it. And it's called Roll, Jordan, Roll, number 31. Here, right there.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Started right out, emphasis
roll,
two and four.
Jordan, roll. I want to go on to heaven when I die to hear.
You could jig to that.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Okay.
Jordan,
okay.
Roll.
I don't care how much you try to slow those Negro spirituals down. The basis of the rhythm is wrong, and you're going to get in trouble no matter how hard you try. The next one is clip number 32 from the Thren family. I still believe like Grandma. Now, they've sung in a multitude of independent Baptist churches. The words to this song are excellent, but the music is not. The words and the music don't fit together. And the music will overpower the words because it'll get you wanting to dance. You notice the guitar will start right out, emphasizing beats 2 and 4. And as you listen carefully, you'll notice it leads the singers to do the same with their voices to start emphasizing beats 2 and 4. That's the rock beat. Okay, number 32.
I still believe like Grandma that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. For good old time religion is still good enough for me today. I still believe like Grandma did. I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
Grandma used to go to church, she believed what the preacher said, that the Savior who was crucified and truly risen from...
You could play that in any nightclub, in any bar. They could dance to it. No problem. No problem at all. All right? Let's go then to... many times you might see camp meetings advertised. Let me just warn you about camp meetings. Most of the time, it seems like camp meetings have the same contemporary sounds, the same wrong beats. I'm going to give you just a few examples here. This is from the North Woods Camp Meeting in Michigan from their 2005. The groups on it are not labeled, so I don't know to whom to give credit for these songs. But let's listen to number 110, clip 110. And I want you to notice the walking bass up and down in the syncopated notes, the offbeat notes. Okay, 110.
Sailing on a journey, one dark stormy night, the disciples on board the ship were filled.
I didn't get in time fast enough, but especially at the beginning, it was 2-4. And as I said, the musicians are starting right out, getting them in that beat. Okay, let's hit clip 114, same camp meeting.
Feet were growing weary, as he journeyed on his way. So he rested.
Hear that piano?
At a wellside.
You don't need drums, you're using the piano the same way.
In the heat of day.
There he waited for a woman. Then clip 117, another type of music that more and more, even independent Baptist churches are getting into, is bluegrass music. Let's listen to a clip of 117. This is still from the Northwoods Camp Meeting, bluegrass sound. The guitar is syncopating. 2-4, 2-4.
So
the guitar will syncopate in that, and you'll find it. I want to read you some about bluegrass. Like jazz, bluegrass is played with each melody instrument switching off. One plays a melody, and then they switch, and another one plays it. It says this instrumentation originated in rural black dance bands. Doesn't that tell you something? This vocal style has been characterized as the high, lonesome sound. Do you think that's the way Christian music ought to sound? Is the high, lonesome sound? Do you feel far away from God, or do you feel close to God? Our music shouldn't be characterized by a high, lonesome sound. That's what the world says bluegrass is characterized by. It says bluegrass as a style developed during the mid-1940s. It says, bluegrass is an amalgam of old-time music, blues, ragtime, and jazz. Now, we've already covered that ragtime and jazz are dance tunes. It says, what made bluegrass music? It's a conglomeration of these all these different dance tunes. But it says, Bluegrass's beginnings can be traced to one band. Bill Monroe is referred to as the founding father of bluegrass music. It was the bluegrass style was named for his band, the Bluegrass Boys, formed in 1939. Bill Monroe was, listen to this, he was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Now remember what we said? There's really only basically two types of churches, those which preach the true gospel and those which don't. And it's the same in music. There's only basically two families of music. There is dance music, and then there is correct music, music you could worship God with. And it says, Bill Monroe was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Bluegrass was recognized as a contributor to country western music, which we saw is in the devil's family. And he was inducted into the International Bluegrass Music Hall of Honor. And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997. And they said he was an early influence upon rock and roll. In other words, the reason that rock is what it is today is because men like Bill Monroe had an influence in their beats, in their sounds. Read here in Wikipedia, he's the only performer that's been honored in all three Hall of Fames, which should be called Hall of Shame. All of them, that's what they are. So, bluegrass music is a mixture of old-time music, blues, ragtime, and jazz, all dance rhythms. Should a Christian be singing, playing bluegrass music? It's sad when Christians are not willing to admit that is a fleshly music. Even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame honored this man, the father of bluegrass music, because they recognize bluegrass is one of the streams from which rock came. One independent Baptist church, as actually today, has a singing group out of their church called the Bluegrass Boys. Now, you know what? When we get saved, my Bible says things are to change in our lives. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, to think that a church group could be called the Bluegrass Boys. Think about it. The father of bluegrass has been honored by all these worldly dance forms of music in their hall of shames. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you know what? When we get saved, our music is supposed to be new too. Look with me, please, in Psalm 40. Well, I get tired of Christians trying to use their old worldly sounds in the work of God. No, the Bible says that's not to be. When we get saved, old things are supposed to pass away, and all things are to become new. And look with me, please. That includes music. Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Have you been brought up out of that horrible pit? Are you saved? Do you still wish you were down there in that slime and mire of sin? Or has Christ given you something new? Cleansed you from your sin. And notice what that does, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. When you get saved, God wants a new song in your mouth. Not that old country western, not that old bluegrass music from Bill Monroe that was honored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame. That isn't what God wants in your life. By the way, what is new in your life? Anything? Do you look different? Do you dress any different? Or are you still trying to attract the wrong crowd? What about your habits? Have they changed any? What about your music? Could anyone convict you of being a Christian by listening to your music, or would they induct you into the hall of shame? Would they say, wow, we honor you. We put you in our hall of fame. which in God's eyes is a hall of shame. Are you still singing that old stuff? We've tried to show you the beats. We're going to have many more sessions dealing with music. The correct beat is emphasis on beat one. But all of this worldly music has off beats. Walks the bass, gets the body wanting to move. And what we want to get you to do is move in the right direction. We want you to move toward a holy life, and a holy life will include holy music. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Is your music new since you've been saved? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would send great conviction upon our hearts. Help us to realize you said psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and none of the music with those worldly beats is spiritual. It's fleshly. Even the world says it's 100% immorality. It's sass and immorality. It's rebellion. Oh, Father, work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.